Welcome to Facebook, to Instagram, to YouTube, and also those listening on podcast. It's good to have you join us. And it's great for you to be here in person as well. Now, today I want to talk about keys. Here are my keys for this church building here. I can get into every room in the building. The power that fella has. I remember when I got the keys first time. It was December 2013 in this building. And I met the guys. It came out of the blue. We had been praying for so long that we would get a building. And I remember getting the keys and the place was dilapidated and a wreck. You know what I did? I came in on the building. We came in, we looked at it, and then I came back on my own. And I walked all around the building. And I claimed it for Jesus. I claimed it, I prayed God's blessing over it. I prayed against anything negative or evil that had happened here. I just walked around the perimeter. I'd do it, any house I ever bought or we went to live in, I walked around and I just declared Jesus. So if you see me walking around and we're singing I Speak Jesus, I can't help it, okay? I just gotta declare goodness of God in the land of the living. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. But keys are a very interesting thing. How many people here can be honest and say, I remember at one time I lost the keys at the front door or the car or my room or my locker or whatever. Anyone ever lose a key? Be honest, put up your hands. Okay, gosh, some of you are really organized. You must have a jailer's key. So that's about 3 out of 4 of us. I remember losing the key for the front door in my house at the time in Carrigaline. You know what I did? I went into the neighbour's garden, I climbed over the wall, and would you believe I shimmied up the drain pipe because there was a bathroom window slightly ajar upstairs. I was crazy. I could be on the flat of my back for the rest of my life. But I remember climbing all the ways in, and I got in. The thing is, though, why did I lose keys? Because I didn't respect them enough. I wasn't careful enough. And I think we've all fallen into that. Usually, when I haven't got a key, one time, I left it in an old coat pocket and left the house and forgot to bring the key with me. I remember another time I lost the key of the car because I threw it on a sofa and it went down the side of the sofa and it was missing for weeks. The thing is, physically, brothers and sisters, we've all got keys. But we got to value them. Do you think that's fair?
Yes.
So we value them. We say, you know, I'm going to look for my keys. If you've got the key of your house, you come into church and you just throw it down in the ground somewhere and you forget where you throw it, of course you're going to be locked out. So we got to remember keys are important. And the thing is, spiritually, it's the same thing. If you and I don't realize that God has given us keys to open doors in our futures, if we don't value them, we miss the opportunity for blessing ourselves and others, but also the opportunity of moving into God's will. So I want to look today at the whole area of the keys in your hands. And I remember reading this author a while back. She's not a Christian, found her very kind of depressed. This is her view on life. Sarah Dessen is her name. She said, there are so many locked doors in life and not enough keys. I can't agree with that. Do you know what I think? If there's a locked door in my life, God doesn't want me to go through the door. That's the difference between a Christian and a non-Christian. A Christian will be determined to get through the door that's locked. But a genuine Christian will go, God, if it's your will, you'll open the door. You'll give me the key. And if I can't get through that door, you don't want me there. And that can be true for a relationship. You might fall in love with someone and they don't love you and your heart is broken. Thank God. Because maybe God doesn't want you together. No one said amen. I really want that job. And the door isn't opening. It's because God doesn't want you there. He sees what you and I can't see. Who can see the future? Only God. Forget all these wackos and nutcases who look into crystal balls or look at the tea leaves or bring out the tarot cards. They can't see the future. Only God can see the future. So if a door is locked, that's okay. But the thing is, there are a lot of doors that are God wants us to open. And I like this anonymous quote. I can't find the author, but this guy said, "Nobody makes a lock without a key. Neither does God allow a problem in your life without a solution." If God wants you to go through a door, He'll give you the solution. He will, in fact, give you the key. Sometimes God just opens a door miraculously, out of the blue. You don't have to do anything. But usually, when God opens a door, He expects you and me to do our part. And He puts a key in our hands to see that that door will open. And that's how it works. There's all kinds of keys. For example, sometimes words are keys. I'm not talking about magic words. Abracadabra. My grandkids play a game week where they saw it. You know Frozen, Anna and Elsa or something? They never saw it anyway. They love it. And they just say this word from the movie and I can't move. So I have to suddenly freeze, you see. Whatever it was. But I'm not talking about, and I play along. Aren't I good granddad? I'm lovely, I really am. Amen. I'm a lovely boy. But I remember the way I was reared, and with our kids, we always said, here's a very important key in life. Say please, say thank you.
Amen.
You will open so many doors in your life, simply by showing people respect and courtesy. Amen?
Amen.
It's not complicated. How are you? Here's what you were looking for. Just say thank you. It's just a key in life. There's all kinds of words are keys. For example, in Ireland, we use words that I'm not so sure they use them in other countries, but they're a key here. One such word is the word sorry. In Ireland, we use the word sorry all the time, even when it's not needed. Ardal O'Hanlon is a famous Irish comedian, and about, 25 years ago, he had to leave Ireland, go to England to further his career with comedy on TV. He got a lot of opportunities there. But he was asked, is there a difference between living in Ireland and England? And he said, yeah, there's a lot of differences. And he said, one of them is in England, they don't really use the word sorry the way they do in Ireland. And he said, let me give you an example. When he was 18, he left his country home in County Monaghan and he went to study at university in Dublin city centre. And late one Saturday night, he got on a double-decker bus on his own and he was upstairs on the bus on his own. And as the bus was travelling through the city centre, he got mugged. And the mugger came up to him with a knife and put the knife up to him and he said, give me your money. So, he obeyed. And so he got out his wallet and he said, he saw he only had a 5 euro note. I've got more than 1 5, hallelujah. He had only a 5 euro note and he said to the mugger, I'm sorry, I only have a fiver. And then the mugger said, I'm sorry about this, I've got an addiction. And Ardal O'Hanlon said, I'm sorry to hear that. And they're still in touch. You see, words are a key. I remember being in, I think it was Dunstores, and about 2 years ago, Denise was too lazy to do the weekly shopping, and I had to do it, okay? She was just watching daytime TV, and she nearly killed me at the earlier service for saying that. Denise was helping her mother with something, and I said, I do the shopping, and even though Denise normally does. And I went to the supermarket, and I had a trolley full of food, and next thing, this guy had a trolley full of food, and he was one of those guys who thinks he's really important. He just had that vibe. And he was walking down the aisle. I'm here, you know. And, the kind of person who thinks rules are for others, not for him. And he bashed into my trolley. And you know what I did? I said, oh, sorry. He did nothing wrong. He didn't do anything, but he bashed into my trolley. Now, he said sorry as well. You see, the word sorry in Ireland is a key because it's where we show respect to one another, where we depreciate ourselves, where we will always allow the other person to save face. And if you want to get on in life in Ireland, in an office or a factory or an organisation, if you're dealing with Irish people, sometimes you have to say sorry and you've nothing to say sorry for. It's not that you did something wrong, it's just a word that's a key. So there's all kinds of keys, attitudes, words and so on. But spiritually, there are keys. And that's what I want to talk about today. Many of you may know this from Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew. Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall
not prevail against it.
How about we say that with a bit of passion? And the gates of hell shall
not prevail against it.
Hallelujah. That's true. And he said, I will give you the keys. You. I give you. You down the back. You over in the corner. You up the front. I give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. If there is a spiritual attack, if there is something demonic, if there is something that needs to be bound up, let's say you're at work and there is an injustice being done, you don't have to beat the fella. You just bind it in the name of Jesus. If there is a lack of harmony or peace in your family, how about you pray, God, will you loose peace into my household? Will you loose harmony into my household? So he's given them the authority, and he was saying this to his disciples, whatever you bind on earth, you will be bound in heaven, loosed on earth, loosed in heaven. That was the key. I give you the keys. The last words Jesus said as he ascended into heaven to all of his disciples gathered, he said, all authority has been given to me, so now you go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them. And it goes on, and in the Gospel of Mark, he talks about you will speak in new tongues, you will cast out demons, people will be healed. He gives the key to his followers. So can I submit and suggest to you, as someone who's been around a while, and someone who I think knows some of the scripture, even this coming week for you, opportunities will arise, and if you don't have the key in your hand, the door won't open. The blessing won't be there, and the encouragement and the anointing won't be in your life. And it's not just for something spiritual like ministry, it can be work or college or relationships. Before we look at some keys God has given us, let's remind ourselves how easy it is to lose your keys. And like I have lost keys many times, do you know what I do when I lose a key, or I lose my phone, or I lose my wallet? You see, I'm always thinking about poetry and all that, so I'm constantly losing stuff. What, do you know what I do? The first thing I do when I realize I've lost it, I praise God. I've learned that. I thank God that I've lost my key. And I go, God, you're teaching me something here. I rely on you. I lost my wallet about 6 months ago. And I'd been in town and I rang all the places I was in saying, have you found a wallet? No, no, no. And I just said, you know, thank you, Lord. You're teaching me something here about losing a wallet. And I praise God, and I still couldn't find the wallet. You know what? I had changed because I put myself into the situation where I said, God, maybe I've lost the wallet, but I'm here to learn. And I found the wallet. It was down the side seat of the car. How foolish was I? But put yourself in the right frame of mind, and I have always found anything I've ever lost. Here's how we can lose our keys spiritually, and let's try and make sure we don't. One way is unforgiveness. If you don't forgive others, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you. Matthew 6:14. If you're sitting here today and you have no forgiveness for someone who genuinely did you wrong or hurt you, they're not in prison, you are. They're not under a shadow, you are. Forgive them. You don't forget. You're not going to be a fool. But you let it go. If you don't, and an opportunity comes, you won't have the key. Unforgiveness causes you to lose keys spiritually. Being unrepentant. This is a scary one. Romans 1:24. So God gave them up or gave them over to their own lusts, the impurity of heart and the dishonoring of their own bodies. Some people say very romantically, well, God will always reach out. No, he won't. No, he won't. That's not true. That's a lie. There is a line in the sand. There comes a time when God will stop reaching out. If we harden our hearts and we keep on with a way of life. I'm not talking about someone who's struggling. Someone who's struggling, there's great hope. Because we all struggle, don't we?
Yes.
Yes?
Yes.
Anyone not struggling here? Everybody struggles to some degree in some way or another. But someone who gives up the good fight, who hardens their heart, God will only reach out for a while and then he'll give them over to whatever they're doing and that's it. So don't treat God like a bar of chocolate. Here, when I feel like it, I'll go to him. No, you can't. You and I can't do that. Let's love God and let's fear him.
Amen.
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 A healthy fear, a loving fear, an awe-filled fear. So God gives them up. So you lose keys if you stop the good fight, if you stop the good struggle. It doesn't mean you're perfect, but you're not giving up. One other way is if we hate any opposition or hassle or trouble, using the allegory or the symbols of the seed and the soil, the seed, the word of God, the soil, the person's heart. Jesus said the seed sown on rocky soil is like the one who hears the word and receives it with joy, but because they have no root or no depth, when trouble comes, they fall away. When any opposition comes, they fall away. When any hassle comes into their spiritual life, they fall away. Don't fall away. If you do, you can't expect God to bless you. You can't expect God to give you the keys to open doors in your hands. Doors may open, but I don't know that they'll be God's will. And if it's not God's will, it won't do you good. So don't allow trouble or a bit of opposition to cause you to fall away. Let's take it on the chin if we get a bit of opposition. Amen?
Amen.
Someone laughs at you because you're a Christian. That's on them.
Yes.
That's on them. I can't get over it. Today, people believe all kinds of bizarre, weird things. And they pretend someone is a man and they're a woman or whatever, and they're into all of this. But you believe in God? That's on them. Don't allow that. Don't allow that to hinder your faith. I remember years ago, we used to meet in the school, Deer Park, and a woman came and she definitely asked the Lord into her life, and she was coming along for a few months, and then one day, it was difficult to park your car on the street outside. Most people parked in a car park we had in the school. But this woman became convinced that someone from the church was blocking her driveway. And she went on a mission. She would even come in and interrupt the service, the meetings, and shout people down. She was shouting me down one day when I was preaching. Anyway, it didn't bother me, like, but she was really, really causing trouble. It turned out the person blocking her drive didn't come to the church at all. It was someone who was going into the city centre to shop. Anyway, she had a thing against Christians. But I remember this woman saying to me, I can't be coming to this church. I can't be a Christian if there's going to be this kind of trouble. Really? Is she threatening your life? Will you have to be burnt at the stake for your faith? Really? Because some nutcase is on about a car blocking her drive? I know for a fact God has put no keys in that woman's hands. If you don't, if you're not prepared to take a bit of hassle, there won't be a key in your hand. But I'm going to assume, and I think it's a fair assumption, that you wouldn't be here today unless you really wanted the best of God for your life. Amen?
Yeah.
So let's look at the keys God has given to us. These are just a few. Here's the first one, the preaching key. It's not just like fellas like me on a stage preaching the word of God. It's you in work. It's you with your buddies. And you just quote a scripture verse. There is power in the word of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The power of God unto salvation. So don't ever try and reason away the Bible. It has a power we can't even see. When I first heard that Jesus died for me, something deep happened in my soul. I had never heard it. I heard Jesus was on the cross, but never that he died for me. And it just released something in my heart. There's a power in preaching. It's a key. Whether you preach it or you share it one-on-one. Peter, the apostle, we're told in Acts 10, he preached the word to the Gentiles gathered in this guy's house, and the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard that word. What does that mean? He was preaching the word, and then the Holy Spirit, in the middle of the sermon, right now, if I'm preaching, and next thing, people just stand up and they start speaking in tongues. And people started getting healed. And if you look at Acts 2, Acts 8, Acts 10, again and again, the same thing happens. Peter in Acts 2 stood up with the 11, said to the thousands of people there, "This is what was prophesied by the prophet Joel. In the last days, your young men will see visions, your old men will dream dreams." And it says 3,000 that day were born again and baptized the same day. You see, baptism is about beginnings, not ends.
Amen.
If we think baptism is when I am now fully settled, you'll never get baptized.
Yeah.
Baptism is about the beginning. So don't let the devil rob you of what baptism is. It's the beginnings. And so Jews were saved and filled with the Spirit. Acts 2, they began to prophesy, see visions, healing, miracles. The same happened to a different people group, Acts 8. Again, Peter went there to the Samaritans. And as we just read, Acts 10 with the Gentiles. To share the word of God, whether it's one verse or whether it's preaching a full message, there is a key to unlock a door spiritually.
Amen.
That the blessing would come, that the Holy Spirit would come. Who'll say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
If this is all foreign and weird to you, can I appeal to your good nature? This is what God wants for you. God wants you to feel and to experience the fullness of everything he has for you. So preaching, sharing God's word is a key. Of course, there's a prayer key. Colossians 4:3 is one of many examples. Pray that God will open doors of opportunity for us to minister. The tragedy is some Christians just don't pray. Pray, oh God, would you help me at work? Would you help me with my marriage, with my buddy, with my finances? Help me with my health, I don't know, with my kids. Pray. It is a key to unlock what God has for you. Sometimes we're saying, oh, God just isn't doing a miracle. How about we just pray?
Yes.
And as we pray, God gives us the key, because prayer is the key, and we open the door to what God has for us. Hallelujah.
Amen.
What about the obedience key? It's not a cool word anymore. Nobody likes to obey. Everyone wants to be a rebel, baby. No one wants to obey. Obey? No, no, no. Yes, yes, yes. When we obey what God says, we open a door with that key to blessing and to anointing and to miracles. Here's one example of obedience. We read of a guy called Philip. He was one of the deacons in the early church. And the Lord said to Philip, "Go south from Jerusalem, take the road to Gaza." Philip obeyed. And when he got there, the Spirit said to him, "Go up to that chariot over there." And as he obeyed again and did so, he met an Ethiopian royal official reading the scripture. So Philip knew nothing. All he knew was that God said, "Take the road south to Gaza." Now, if that was me, I'd go, "Why?" Like, what's the purpose in this, Lord? And where do I go exactly there? And when am I meant to be there? And who am I meant to meet here? No, no, no. Just head out and obey. And as soon as he got there, he got the next part of the puzzle. And God said, "Go up to that chariot." And many of you know the story. Here was an Ethiopian reading the Bible. It ends up that Philip led him to the Lord and then baptized him straight away in the river. And do you know, he went back to Ethiopia and that man began to share the word and the Christian church in Ethiopia was born. And you may not know it, but there is to this day a powerful move of God in that nation, even when it was under communist dictatorship. And the blessing of the gospel in that nation. We had a girl in the church here, Eden is her name. She was at the 10 o'clock service. I got her to stand up. She's from Ethiopia. And if you talk to Eden, you'll hear that all of the churches there trace the blessing in their nation right back to one fella who wasn't Ethiopian, who obeyed God. And as he obeyed twice, that was the key to open the door. And the nation of Ethiopia was blessed with the gospel to this day, that we in the church here are blessed with people from Ethiopia who bring their knowledge and their friendship and their praise and their prayers here to our community. And it goes all the ways back to a guy who was obedient. If you and I obey God, even if we don't like it, we open a door of blessing to others and to ourselves. Who'll say amen?
Amen.
Never underestimate it. And that goes for generations, and in this case, thousands of years. What about the friendship key? Jesus sent all of the guys out at the beginning of his ministry, two by two. No one was sent out on their own. You see, today it's hyper-individualism, and it's all me and Jesus on my own. But when we read the Bible, we don't read me and Jesus on my own. I mean, that's our own walk with God. But in ministry and in life, God connects us with others. Hallelujah. No one is meant to be on their own. Not like that. Here's an example of the great apostle Paul. 2 Corinthians 2:12. Even though there was opportunity to minister in the city of Troas, I had no peace in my spirit because I did not find my brother Titus there. That's why I moved on to Macedonia. Hang on a second, Paul. You're supposed to preach the gospel everywhere, in season, out season. Why didn't you do it there? No. Paul knew for him to minister, he needed his friend Titus by his side. And for that whole season of his life, Paul wouldn't minister on his own like that. The thing is, sometimes you hear about the great man of God, but in my experience, there's always someone with them. There's a great woman of God behind him, usually. But very often, you will have to see someone with them. I know when we started the church, I wasn't going to do it unless I had Michael by my side. And Michael, you weren't going to do it unless I was by your side. Why? Because they're really close. Well, we are. And we're not ashamed of it. Hallelujah. Because we're really close. Can I suggest to you, that's what God wants for you. No man alone. No woman alone. God wants us with our hearts together to do what he has called us to do. And so friendship is a key in our lives. And you might say, I don't know that I've got any friend. Do you know, God will give you a friend. God doesn't want any of us alone, whether it's ministry or it's life. But it's a key. And Paul would not push that door open because Titus wasn't with him. Here's another slightly related one, the love key. If I don't have love, I am nothing. It always protects, always trusts, always perseveres. Love never
fails.
He goes on and he says, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am nothing. If I do miracles, I'm nothing if I don't have love. So someone says, there's a great man of God, there's a great woman of God. I remember someone saying that to me about 8 years ago. They came to Cork here, they were from another country. I was appalled at the way they treated the people with them. They showed no respect, no kindness, no love. I don't want anything to do with that guy. Never did. You know why? Because there was no love there. And I'm not talking about squishy feelings. I'm talking about practical, real love. How we treat one another says an awful lot about us. Do you think Jesus would push you out of the way? What would Jesus do? I want to see a reflection of Jesus Christ in people. So love is a key. And when we love one another, we create a bond together. And when we show respect and we prefer the other person's needs more than our own, whether it's marriage or family, parents and kids, or friendship or ministry, you know what? It is a key. And that thing called love opens doors of opportunity. I remember making a decision to show kindness and love to someone I worked with, not in a church, in the company I worked with years ago. And Michael spoke about it recently, about a guy he worked with, your alter ego comrade.
Absolutely.
I remember doing similar things in work, and it is a key. It just opens a door. And instead of fighting fire with fire, how about you quench the fire with some kindness and love? It just changes it all. It changes it all. Brothers and sisters, the week ahead, there are opportunities for you. And I know the Holy Spirit is saying this. But you got to have the key in your hand. You got to be ready to go. And we're going to pray for that in just a moment. But here's another key. And here's a key that is close to my heart, because I've seen it again and again. The praise key.
Amen.
Amen.
Paul and Silas were in prison, in a dungeon, and they began to sing praise to God while they were in prison, while the other prisoners listened. Suddenly a violent earthquake opened the doors and broke the chains. Hallelujah. Do you think the earthquake would have come if they hadn't praised God? It's not in the Bible there just as a by the way. It is there as a key. Don't rob my keys, Julie. Kick your hands off them now. It's a key. When we praise God, the atmosphere changes. We change. Instead of my problems, it's His solution.
Amen.
Our heads, our hearts go to that place. The Bible says that God inhabits the praises of His people in the Psalms. You know what? When we praise God, we turn a lock in a door. When I praise God, when something bad happens in my life, something changes. It begins in me, and then I always see a change in the circumstances. And I'm around a while, and I know this works. Brothers and sisters, God wants you to praise. At the 9:30 meeting, we were praying for the worship today, and I was stirred to pray. Did you know that in the Old Testament, when they were about to conquer lands, when they were crossing rivers, God didn't send out all the knacky fellas, all the engineers, all the guys who were handy with their hands? They were the ones I'd send out to make the way safe. You know who God sent first? He sent the band. He sent the praise guys like Julie and Attila, like Simon, like all of these guys, Angie, Hazel, Steve. He sent them first. And the praise band, the tribe of Judah, which means praise, they always led the way. Because praise is a weapon. Praise is a key. And when we praise God, we turn the lock and the doors open. Hallelujah for miraculous open doors, and we don't have to use a key. But brothers and sisters, we need to use the keys as well. So I'm going to pray that this week ahead, God helps you and helps me to open the doors that we have in our lives and use the keys. How many people here have keys with them? Keys to your house, a fob for your car, a key for your locker. Can I ask you to stand, and can I ask you to get out your keys if you have a set of keys with you? Maybe it's only one key. Maybe it's a fob. Maybe you use your phone for your front door. How cool are you? You can get out your phone. But if you got something, it's a practical thing to have in our hands. We're going to use it. Hallelujah. We're going to pray in just a moment, but I've asked Julie to lead us in the song called Praise. We finished last Saturday night with this, but this is so true. Let's praise God before we pray and use the key. Julie. new to you, or maybe you've drifted from God, I'm going to give the opportunity to just get God back in your life or come into your life in a very powerful way for the first time. Could I ask everyone to close their eyes, on stage, off stage, down the back, up the front, just close your eyes. If you want to invite the Lord and to start an adventure in total privacy, all I'll see is a shadow of a hand. But if you want to do that or come back to God because you've drifted with nobody looking and only a shadow of a hand, and then you can take it down. Could you slip up your hand? Slip up your hand if you want to call on the Lord. See your hand? See your hand? See your hand as well? And yours, and yours, and yours. Hallelujah. And yours. I think we have 6 or 7 people. We're just going to say a prayer together. Will you join me in prayer?
Yes.
Let's just pray in solidarity. But for those 6 or 7 people, it's really important you pray. It's a beginning, it's not an end. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus Christ.
Lord Jesus Christ.
I invite you into my life. Be my leader, my savior, my friend. Forgive me my sin. I will fight the good fight. Help me to be the person I was born to be. I want to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. We give these guys a round of applause. God bless you. Love to say hello to you. If you'd like to connect to myself or Michael, we'd love to say hello to you, and we'd love to give you a free booklet as well if you'd like that. But we're going to do one more prayer, and that is, if you've got a set of keys, are you willing to hold up your keys as a symbol for the week ahead? Your fob, your key, or you can use your phone. That's a key as well. If you want to, I'm going to invite you to come up to the top. We're going to pray that God will give you just the ability to open doors of opportunity for this coming week. Let's come and stand at the top and we'll pray. Let's just sing the chorus of praise as people are coming up. Julie! Michael is going to be doing the rounds. If you've got keys or a phone and you know you want to be ready with the key of sharing the word, of praising God in a difficult circumstance, of being a friend, of discovering a friend, of praying into that situation, just hold up your keys now. And if you don't have one, just hold up your hands. If you can jingle, will you jangle your keys? Hallelujah! Hear the sound, O God, we pray for our brothers and sisters facing a new week. And I pray into your family, can you say amen? Into your work, can you say amen? Into your study, into your neighborhood, in with your friends, in with the miraculous bumping into new people. We pray, God, that the door of opportunity would open for us and that we would have the right key in our hand. Your authority. We don't do it in our name. We do it in the name of Jesus. And in your name, O God, we pray we would open the door by turning the key. And I pray a release of intergenerational blessing to you, to your children, to your children's children, to your friends and your family, to your community and to our church. We pray, O God, that we would be the men and women who turned the key. So open all those blessed doors and let the dam burst and let the waters of heaven flood our lives and our experiences. We pray in Jesus' name, and God's people said,
Amen.
Now God is saying to some of us, and I know this is true, He's saying to some of us, in your work situation, today, before the night is out, God is going to give you the key to unlocking a problem you've got in work. And I know this is from God. Maybe you'll have a dream tonight from the Holy Spirit, or maybe it's coming into your heart right now. But if you want to pray for your work, just where you stand, would you lift up your right hand if it's your work? Oh, whoa. As I stand here and I move my hand across all these work situations, I pray, release in the name of Jesus. Oh God, would you give my brothers, my sisters, the key to know how to open the door of opportunity, and I come against Satan and his ability to stop your progress. I pray release to you, and I pray God will give you the revelation for the key in your situation, in Jesus' name, and all who prayed said,
Amen. Amen. I'm just going to just fire this one out there. Many, many years ago, like I'm talking 38 years ago, I was in a situation where I had to go to the government for them to make a decision. I wasn't even in Ireland at the time. And a pastor, a wise pastor, said to me, he said, Michael, whatever you do in that situation with that door, do not force that door open, but obey what God says. And so I completely ignored his advice. And I kicked and beat and bashed and blew that door off the hinges. And I gotta tell you, it very nearly ruined my life. It nearly ruined my life. So I just wanna say, if you're in a situation, this is specifically about a relationship, if you're in a situation and you're about to take the plunge on a relationship and a door isn't opening, someone isn't reciprocating with love, do not force that situation. Or whatever situation you face this week, if the door isn't opening, do not force the door. Because when you force that door, you leave the enemy in, not God's blessing in. I'm just offering you that there as a piece of instruction.
Praise God. Thank you, comrade. Thank you, Michael. Amen. Wise words. I have one more word, and it is this. Some of us here know a friend or a family member whose heart has gone cold towards the Lord. It's like they've gone asleep to God. The scripture I got earlier was from the book of Acts, a guy called Eutychus. The name means lucky. But he fell out the window when he was at a meeting because Paul was preaching on so long. And he was dead downstairs in the courtyard. And Paul went down and embraced him. And the life of the Holy Spirit in Paul raised the guy back to life. And he came back into the church fully awake. And God is saying, you are the key. And God is going to give you a scripture or a word of knowledge to share with that guy or that girl. And they're going to be restored to Jesus. Just like that guy who looked like he was dead, but God raised him up and brought him back. Now, is there anyone here who can say, I have it on my heart to reach out to someone who's asleep or their heart has gone cold? Can you lift up your hand if that's you? Well, okay, praise God. Can I ask you guys to come forward? Maybe the other guys would go to their seats, but if you could remain standing, and if you would join us and just raise a hand and point it up to these guys here. We want to release the key as they reach out to these people that they know whose hearts are cold or who've fallen asleep. And I want to release, as it were, the pall in you, and that you will go to your friend or your family member and you'll be like Paul. You'll embrace them and the life of the Spirit in you will bring them back to life. Hallelujah. Can you lift your hands up and just put that person in the palm of your hand? Lift them to God. Maybe it's a partner, a son, a daughter, a brother, a sister, a mum, a dad, a dear friend, or someone you've recently met again. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, not in our name, in your name, I pray, God, that whether it's today or tonight, you would give my brothers and sisters the key words from the scriptures, or the key advice that is biblically based, to speak to this person, and that that would be the key to unlock the door and see them won back to you, O God. Lord, we pray Eutychus would rise from the dead and he would be helped, or she would be helped back in to the bosom of the church where the word of God is honored. I pray restoration in all of the lives that are held up here, but I pray it would begin with revelation and a knowledge as to what the key is. So we anoint and pray over all the brothers and sisters here. And I pray, God, give them courage. Will you say amen? God, give you courage. God, give you wisdom. And God, give you revelation in the Holy Spirit to see them restored. And I pray this in Jesus' mighty name. I believe for one person here at least, God is saying, you're saying to God right now in your heart, I feel so inadequate. And this is what God is saying to you. That's okay. You don't have to be adequate. I'm adequate enough for you. All you have to do is obey and open your mouth, and God will do all the rest. Amen. So go forth with courage, brothers and sisters. There are a whole load of souls represented here, and God is going to use you to bring them back. So I pray the anointing upon you in Jesus' mighty name, and all who agreed with the prayer said,
amen.
Can we give these guys a round of applause? That took a bit of courage. Hallelujah. As you go back to your seats, can we just take 2 more minutes before we close and sing the praise song? And remember, this is one of our keys for the week ahead. We praise God in every circumstance. Julie.